From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, forever the bringer of presents.
Yeah.
Count Santa Panic himself.
How's it going, Bob? Bob, I'm waiting for the video portion, so hopefully... This is audio only.
This is audio only.
Nobody knows if I'm wearing a cape or not.
You're not. Tonight's a podcast exclusive. We wanted to fit it in because it's just been holidays. Whenever the holiday falls in the middle of the week, it's tough to get into the studio.
It's tough.
Plus, last week I was at Holiday Met Surrey in Orlando, which bumped me around.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to 2024 at this point. I'm going to pretend 2023 never happened. Just like I'm going to pretend 2022 never happened.
Or 2021. Or 2020.
No, I like 2021. That was okay.
Really?
Yeah, that was, I think, okay.
We were still in the murkiness of...
That's... I don't know.
2019 maybe was our year, right?
Something like that.
But we are here, Bob.
We are here, and it's awesome. And because it's a podcast exclusive, it's a little bit more lax because we don't have FCC regulations, time regulations.
Hell no.
Count, we still have to behave because we are a family-friendly podcast.
Okay.
You said hell, which is fine. I could say that on air. But outside of that, we're still a family-friendly show, but we just take it easy and we're a little bit more relaxed than normal.
Yeah, sure.
So, Count, it's nice to be back. I hope you had a good holiday. Did you have a good Christmas?
The solstice, yes. The veil is thickening once again.
Yes.
But as we head into the new year, approaching the new year here, depending on when you listen to this, it's full speed ahead.
So I got an interesting thing to tell you about my holiday, if you're interested.
Yeah, what'd you do?
So Christmas Eve, I literally got home Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock in the morning from Orlando.
Orlando, yeah.
Yep, so I went to sleep. I woke up at 7. I had to help Mom get some grocery shopping done, and we got some other things taken care of, and had to finish up my Christmas shopping because, of course, time just wasn't on my side this month. It's been a really rough month to get just my breath. So we went out Christmas Eve, went through the entire day. We had Olive Garden for dinner, which was really good until I almost died of choking on a breadstick.
It happens.
Real story. And my poor mother, she's not good in a stressful situation, like an emergency.
No.
She was just like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, I'm trying to tell her, "No, I'm not." And she's like, "Go to the bathroom."
Yeah.
"No, I'm choking. Please give me the Heimlich." Long story short, I didn't die, obviously. Well, that's and then good. We watched, what did we watch? We watched like a Christmas movie Christmas Eve. We watched Die Hard.
That is a Christmas
Yeah, we did.
Movie.
We watched Die Hard and we watched Opus and the A Wish for Wings, Opus based on the Bloom County comic strip back in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
Starring Opus the Penguin and Billy the Cat, but I digress. I was a big fan of that stuff. And so we watched that. We watched Die Hard. So it was a good Christmas night and Christmas Day. Had my siblings over with me and Mom, and it was okay. I had really creepy two things that happened on Christmas.
What happened on Christmas? Yule Cat?
No, I got my clothes, luckily. Did you get new clothes this holiday?
I did.
Okay, good. We avoided Yule Cat another year. No, but so two things. The one thing that happened you could chalk up to an odd circumstance. So throughout the day, the front door kept opening by itself. So how my mom's place works and how my place works, I stay with Maya because I take care of because she's disabled. But how the house works is you walk up, it's like a loft. You go up some stairs, you're on like a little front porch area and like a foyer, and then you go into another door. So the door leading from the foyer to the living room is always closed because there's no real insulation on the foyer. So to stay warm, we always keep the door closed during this winter and open during the summer because it brings in a good draft. But anyway, so the door kept opening by itself. And it's a big, thick, heavy wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
This thing just kept opening by itself throughout the night.
Yeah.
And my mom just kept closing it, but the thing kept opening. And finally, my five-year-old niece went and closed the door, and it stayed closed. And she said something along the lines of Papa, mm-hmm. which was the name of my father yeah. that she had for my dad. So my mom's just like, you know what, I'm just going to leave the door open until Josie closed it, and then it just stayed closed after that. But my mom's like, all right, I guess your dad just wants to come and go as he pleases today.
Is that now that never occurred before then?
No, the only times those ever occurred was my mom swore that dad was kicking around somewhere. Yeah. And then the second weird thing that happened, dinner was over. I was just sitting down at the dining room table, just letting some food digest. I was cracking open some walnuts, and it was a good time. And my niece comes up to me. My niece is she's got a couple disabilities going on, so her speech isn't perfect, but what she can talk is fine. Nothing wrong with my niece, by the way. I love her very much, but I'm just the gist of it. Yeah. Okay, I had to give that as a background real quick. So she comes up to me with this pin, and it's from Ancient Relay for Life, which if you guys don't know what Relay for Life is, maybe overseas, American Cancer Society gets together every year in different locations across America. You walk for, you know, a full 12, 16 hours straight across a track, and you call it Relay for Life. You have people donate to you, and it's a good time. But my mom, we used to do it a lot back when I was younger because my grandmother died of breast cancer when I was like 3. So my mom always did the Relay for Life.
Yeah.
And on there was a pin. And I haven't seen this pin in 10, probably longer than 10 years. I don't think I've done a relay with my parents since I was probably an early teenager. So let's say 20 years, because that's about right. I'd be about 13. So about 20 years. So I haven't seen this pin in 20 years. And my niece comes up to me with this pin. And she sets it down next to me. And she looks at me and says, hi, she's dead. And she says, hi.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
But who was it?
The picture of my grandmother.
Okay.
And my grandmother, like I said, I wasn't necessarily close with her because I was 3. I don't remember her at all. But I sat there and I stared at her and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it just runs in the family, I guess. It didn't weird me out at all. I told my mom and she's like, my mom was a little bit more grumpy about it than anybody, but yeah, that's a thing.
Too menacing or anything like that.
No. But it was just, you know, when it's one of those things, but I thought of you when it happened because it's, we always talk about the veil being thinned or thick or, you know, anything along them lines. And in this case, she just happened to have like a thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, they always say certain people are more,
Kids are typically more susceptible to the, you know, the spirits than we are. And
pets,
I don't know
too.
Why. Pets are super sensitive.
They say dogs and cats could just, when you see them lingering off into the corner, that means that they're
specifically cats. I swear to you, cats have a sixth sense constantly.
They know what's going on.
Anywho, so that was my Christmas.
Spooky.
I had a good time though. It was okay, I suppose. And now I'm just, my best Christmas gift of all is being here in the studio with you, Patrick.
There you go. How about that?
Did you ever bring me my present, by the way?
I got to do it on camera.
I'm giving you crap, by the way. That's a joke.
I do have it, but I got to get it on camera.
The present I get from you is the fact the presence of you is my gift. And I mean that sincerely. I don't mean that as a joke.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You're a great producer. I don't know how I would do the show without you.
But this is also the show that this show is the gift that keeps on giving.
It is the show that keeps on giving all year round.
Yeah. People wait.
Yes. So because this is a podcast episode, I'm only going to say if this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite Christmas present he ever opened up.
Oh man, Bob, ever. Jeez. I remember being very excited for a Game Boy Advance back in the early days.
Boy, I'm going to tell you. Would you like to know my answer?
What's your answer?
Game Boy Advance.
Really?
I swear to you, I got the Arctic Blue, which was like a clear plastic early 2000s thing. I got the Arctic Blue, Game Boy Advance, some games, and the Gripper for the Game Boy Advance. And I remember that was my... Because I had a Game Boy growing up, and then the Advanced was Advanced. Try to explain that to your parents. But because we had a regular Game Boy, then I got the Game Boy Advance, right? And that thing was my companion on many of car rides.
Right?
Many of car rides, many days of just sitting at the house. I I miss my Game Boy Advance 100%.
Then you go to the store and get some new games.
Yeah, exactly. I did. I think my first, I couldn't tell you what my first round of game, I could tell you the Super Mario World port of Game Boy Advance was my favorite. So we're going to share the same answer for once.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so typically in the show, we split the show into two parts. The first part of the show is where we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for articles about the weird, strange, and unknown. Anything from cryptid and ghost sightings making it into major media, the weird and bizarre, and the advances in science that borderline on science fiction. But because it's a podcast-only episode, we're just going to be focusing on the second part of the show, which is the lore of the week.
The lore of the week. Now, this is what people... This is the meat and potatoes. The meat and potatoes.
Yes. Just for you get the meat, I get the potatoes. Right. In case you guys didn't know, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat meat. Yeah. So we're going to just do that. It's going to be a little shorter episode this week. I want to give Count the night off. He just got done doing his own thing, so he's probably exhausted.
Don't worry.
Vampires
sleep in the day.
Yes. Oh, by the way, before we dive into the lore of the week, which is where we pick the topic and we dive into it, ripped straight from the Diaries of Dr. Ben Vanderson, I have a shout-out for somebody that I don't know. Well, I know who it is, I guess, but I don't know who it is in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
Do you want to know who? I got a phone call on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
And it was from a private number. And I'm like, you know what? If this is a scammer, I'll pick up and I'll humor them for 10 seconds. I picked it up. I'm like, hello. And good evening, Bob.
I can't believe it.
Fans of Bob After Dark that watched the live know about Count Dracula. This guy, and I'm assuming it's the real Count Dracula at this point, used to call in sporadically, maybe once a month, once every 3 months, and he would just call in, he'd crack a vampire pun, and then just hang up. And for the longest time, you and I could not figure out who it is, and this was the first time this number ever called me on my private number. I don't know how Count Dracula got my number, and to be honest with you, I don't really care, because that was the highlight of my Christmas. I kid you not, he calls and he just said, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I'm like, do you have any vampire jokes or puns for me? No. And he just hung up the phone.
That's a strange thing, because to this day, he never really called you on your personal line, right?
No, he called the Defunct Bob After Dark hotline, which I want to relaunch, by the way.
Oh, so that's the number he dialed in on.
Yeah, but he called me on my private number.
Interesting.
That only, people I know get. Not everybody gets the Bob After Dark personal phone number to call and chat with. That's reserved for very limited people. I don't even add people to my private Facebook anymore. Shout out to you, Wes. You were the last fan I'll ever add person privately, but you get the idea.
So we don't know for sure. I mean, we know it's Dracula, but we're still kind of alert.
Don't know who he is. Don't know where he's from. No. He sounds the part. I'm assuming he looks the part. And just shout out to Count Dracula. Thank you. I've been going through the seasonal blues, to say the least, and you definitely brought me some joy. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, it's good. It's been a while since we heard from.
It's been a hot minute since I've heard from Count. So
over a year, right?
Absolutely. A couple years. Do you know who Count Dracula is?
I do not.
I texted you. I was like, "Panic, Merry Christmas!" You won't believe.
I said, "Yeah, who do you?" He's called in here once or
yes,
twice.
Yes, he's called in several times here. Yeah. I remember one time Steve was here, and I just walked, because I can't keep a straight face when I talk to this guy.
No.
Because it's hilarious. He is the most stereotypical correct Dracula you'll ever find. Mm-hmm.
He's Dracula. There's nobody else.
It was just yes.
Well, that's great. Hopefully he's, it's good to see he's out there still.
Absolutely. All right, Count. So without further ado, are you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Okay, so this week we are going to be talking about a winged creature of the Northeast known as the Snallygaster.
The Snallygaster.
Snallygaster.
Okay.
The Snallygaster.
It's fun to say.
Yes. So according to Legends of America, for centuries, a long, large, winged beast known as the Snallygaster is said to have terrified the people of Frederick County, Maryland. The dragon-like beast is described as a half-reptile and half-bird living in South Mountain caves. The mysterious creature is said to swoop silently down from the sky, stealing farm animals and children from the unsuspecting farm folk.
Hmm.
And a lot of folk believe it's real. The area was settled by German immigrants beginning in the 1730s who called the creature a Schnellergeist, meaning quick spirit in German. I may be able to remember. I could do that one, yeah. Of course. Any other time, give me a Spanish word, can't do it. I can do the Schnellergeist. Yeah. That's about it. Anyway, meaning quick spirit in German. The earliest folklore mixes the half-bird features with the nightmarish features of a dragon and ghouls. Other descriptions describe the beast as a half-reptile, half-bird, with a metallic-like beak lined with razor-sharp teeth. Sometimes it is described as having octopus-like tentacles, and the earliest stories claim that this monster sucked the blood of its victims. The Snollygoster has one widely known enemy known as the Dwayo, D-W-A-Y-Y-O. The Dwayo is reported to be a mammal biped, meaning it walks on two legs, with features similar to a wolf, but the stance of a stature of a human. The particular creature and the Snollygoster have reportedly had vicious encounters dating back to the earliest settlement of Middletown Valley. For years, the Snollygoster lived only on the pages of folklore until 1909, when the stories of the beast began to appear in newspapers. Encounters between local residents and the winged creature in February and March of 1909 described it as having enormous wings, a long pointed bill, claws like steel hooks, and an eye in the center of its forehead. Further, it is said to make screeches like a locomotive whistle. Mm. That's loud.
Yeah.
In February 1909, February 1909 article claimed that a man had been seized by the winged creature, which possessed to sink its teeth into his jugular and drain the body of its blood before dropping it along the hillside, making it more of a vampiric creature versus a cannibal. Vampiric, obviously, meaning it drinks the blood but leaves the meat behind. The story was carried prominently in Middletown, Maryland's Valley Register, and soon spread far and wide, so much that the Smithsonian Institute offered a reward for its hide. Now, this is the crazy part, and this is why I picked this story initially to finish out the 2023 year, because this is the craziest part. You ready?
Yeah.
U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt reportedly considered postponing an international trip of diplomacy to hunt the beast personally to prove a point.
Really?
Yes.
So he put everything on hold.
Theodore Roosevelt. Now, it's the story says it's supposedly. But if you guys know who Theodore Roosevelt is, maybe some of the newer, younger listeners don't understand, like, that president or people overseas didn't understand. Teddy Roosevelt was the guy. There was, talks when it's brought up Theodore Roosevelt, and they're like, if Teddy ever was to die, death would have to come for him in his sleep, because if he tried to come for him while he was awake, death would have a fight on his hands. Teddy Roosevelt didn't play. Yeah. And a lot of people regard him, this is not a political show, but a lot of folk regard him as a very, popular president of all time, but it's an interesting story is because the President Roosevelt also has a Sasquatch story. For as far back as we can remember, we talked about this when Roosevelt was, because he was a known hunter, he traveled, he was an explorer, that's like he was his shtick. And Teddy Roosevelt had an opposed encounter with a Bigfoot many, many moons ago when he called him a giant hairy Yahoo. So it's interesting that Teddy Roosevelt has had two supposedly strange paranormal encounters. I'd like to do an episode in 2024 about presidential encounters with the paranormal, not ghosts of presidents.
Yeah.
But because I think it was John Adams who was supposedly at the Bellwitch farm. Too, so it's kind of interesting when you have the presidents. But I just like the idea that Teddy Roosevelt was like...
He was ready to take names.
I legitimately have a laugh in my head of Teddy Roosevelt being decked out in that, the outfit that Robin Williams wore. Yeah. Not National Treasure, but a museum.
Yeah.
I just imagine him being in this outfit with this ridiculously comically large, hunting rifle of, the early 1900s. Being like... Ah, yes, I'm going to go hunt this giant dragon with this gun. Come with me.
This was a national threat back in the day, You never know what could go down. He was defending the country.
Yes. So, in the early issues, the flying beast seemed to be everywhere all at once. In New Jersey, it was reported that its footprints were discovered in the snow. In West Virginia, it was said that the flying beast almost caught a woman near Scrabble, was found roosting in a farmer's barn, and laid an egg the size of a barrel near Sharpsburg. In Cass-Town, Ohio, wrote a letter. A man in Cass-Town, Ohio, wrote a letter to the Valley Register, telling of a strange creature that flew over his area, making terrible screeching noises. He described it as having two enormous wings, a horny, large head, and a tail that was 20 feet long. In Maryland, it was first sighted by a man who operated a brick-burning kiln near Cumberland. Spied near the kiln sleeping, it emitted a blood-curdling scream when it awoke and angrily flew away. It was also sighted near Hagerstown, south of Middletown at Lover's Leap, and seen flying over the mountains between Gapland and Berkskicksville, where it was reported to have laid a very large egg, like the one that was laid before, the size of a barrel. The last sighting in Frederick County occurred in March 1909, where three men fought the creature outside a railroad station for nearly an hour and before chasing it into the woods of Carroll County. Afterward, there were no more sightings of the mysterious creature for the next 23 years, at which time it once again appeared in Frederick County, Maryland. The first report said it was a bird and was just seen below South Mountain in Washington County. It was summarized at the time that as the life expectancy of the Snallygaster was estimated at 20 about that time, the new sightings were from the offspring of the 1909 creature. Some speculated that the Snallygaster that was being seen only had a lifespan of 20 years, so maybe it just lived to 20. That's early biologists kind of looking at that and being like, that thing can't last longer than 20 years. So just pure speculation. Yeah. At this time, the Middletown Valley Register requested the local residents who spied the creature should provide an as accurate and detailed description as possible for scientific purposes. Two residents soon reported having seen it just east of Braddock Heights, flying about 25 feet overhead, confirming the descriptions published the previous week. The next thing heard of the Snallygaster is that it had died in Washington County when it was overcome by fumes of a moonshine still and fell from the sky into a 2,500-gallon vat of alcohol. According to the story, revenue agents soon arrived, destroyed both the beast's vat and carcass, and no appearances have been seen ever since. Ooh. That was written by Kathy Alexander in Legends of America, by the way. So I wanted to add a little bit more to the Snallygaster case before Count and I chat a little bit about this, because it's interesting how far and wide this creature was reported in. So as I was saying before, the Middletown Valley Register was a local paper at the time that detailed reports of the sightings, and they painted a grim picture of the dangerous mountain regions of the area, and it was decided that this new monster was an offspring from the generation prior, like I said. But not only did the Middletown Valley Register write a report on this, because once upon a time ago, you know, something spooky even now, if something weird like that happened, that unless it was something that's going to make national news, it's got to be a big deal.
It's got to be a huge deal.
But other newspapers jumped on the story too. So the Baltimore Sun published articles, as well as the Washington Post.
Ah, see?
Now, I don't know. This is newspapers are very much not, I don't want to say a thing of the past, but it's slowly becoming a thing of the past. But at the height of it, you and I went to liberal arts college, so we know how that stuff works.
A thing or two.
The Washington Post. Can you explain how big of a deal that is to our overseas fans?
A huge deal. Our professor Neil would be saying that's a huge deal.
Yes, it's one of the three biggest newspapers in the country, even now, New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, I would say, are probably the three biggest newspapers that are still around to this day. But interesting stuff nonetheless. As scrutiny increased, more pressure came to catch a photograph of the Snallygaster. And supposedly, National Geographic was preparing an expedition to capture the creature on film. And trying to avert a panic, the Baltimore Sun reported the Snallygaster's death in November 1932.
1932?
Yes. All right. So a shadowy photo of a dead creature accompanied a questionable account of how it had drowned in the vat of whiskey like we were talking about before in a Baltimore County farm. By suspicious coincidence, the report stated that the federal prohibition officers inadvertently blew the still up before the carcass could be examined. Mm. And yet another so-called coincidence, prohibition ended just a short time later. And in resulting celebration, the Snallygaster incident seemed to be a foggy post-hangover delirium. And that, my friends, is the story of the Snallygaster. Now, Count Panic.
Yeah.
You have several things to unwind there. So fill me in what you got going on.
Well, I mean,
there.
The fact that this was such a big deal. I mean, this again, there's cryptids or whatever you want to call them that they go around and there's really no national attention whatsoever. But this had the papers, the biggest papers in America. This had the president going after it. I mean, this is something that dates back quite a bit of time in history that you don't really hear about, really, on along the lines of, say, a Sasquatch or a Nessie or things
like
that.
No, this thing is not as popular. No. As far as, like, the cryptids go, this thing is not popular at all. But it is literally the most terrifying, in my opinion. It's a giant Cthulhu-looking dragon creature that flies around and takes kids. Teddy Roosevelt got so mad that he decided to go after it himself.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You don't see presidents going after cryptids too much. But, you know, when they're trying to attack our country, I guess, you gotta do something.
Yes. Okay, so I got to ask you, and this is a legitimate question I want a legitimate answer
sure.
to. Do you think that there's any water in the story, like legitimate standing water in the story that prohibition ended because the Snallygaster landed in a thing of alcohol? Do you think there's any truth to that?
I don't think there's much truth. It seems like a tall tale. I mean, I'm not doubting the realisticness or the legitimacy of this creature. I just don't think maybe that part is a necessarily all true. Unless, why do you think so?
It's an interesting story. And I think that's where it is.
Is this a story?
Yeah, I want there to be some truth to it. Now remember, folks, when you listen to Bob After Dark, we are not a conspiracy theory podcast. We've gotten close, but we've never outright came out and said, hey, Count, you know, the government, tinfoil hats, blah, blah, blah. We don't do that here. You're going to get ghost stories, cryptid stories, aliens, etc. You're going to get that from us. But what a conspiracy theory that is. And it's not one I've ever heard before other than that article. So there's probably no, that probably can't float, that theory. That theory probably sunk right to the bottom of that alcohol.
Yeah, that happens.
But man, what an interesting theory, you know? What if that is true? What if this thing fell and drowned? But my question is, you know, the articles don't talk about it, but like, how did the government know, the prohibition officers know that the Snallygaster fell into a barrel? Were they tracking it and they saw it and they're like, oh, let's light that on fire. Ah, crap. We have a bunch of people that saw that thing. Let's just end prohibition.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm sure organized crime had nothing to do with it. You know,
it's bootleggers.
None of that had nothing to do with
it. It's paranormal.
It's paranormal. Yeah. The Snallygaster.
Chalk it up on that. Yeah. I mean, why not?
You know. Have you ever seen Cheers?
I have, yeah.
You know, at the end of Cheers, like the beginning of Cheers, during like the title screen, they have like the old-timey paintings.
Yeah, Prohibition.
Like, Prohibition ended.
Yeah.
I imagine like the Snallygaster being on like the beginning title credits to Cheers. Prohibition over.
Just right in the front.
Dragon killed by illegal moonshine.
What a twist in history that would be. If that really was the case.
I also need to point out about this specific case of this creature is the appearance. This thing is terrifying. You know, other cryptids in the world, you look at the concept of Mothman, right? And, you know, most of the cases there with Mothman are just this flying moth creature with glowing red eyes. That's kind of spooky. You know, Bigfoot's this giant ape-like creature that does scary things, but the sight of him isn't terrifying. Like, I don't look at that thing and I'm like, oh, that thing's scary looking. Yeah. Now, see, if I saw one in person, if I had, like, a legitimate encounter, it'd be a little different. But I'm saying as far as appearance, right? Outside of, like, not deer, which we'll get to in another episode, other than that, the Snallygaster, I would say, is the most terrifying cryptid. All the depictions of this thing have, like, it's literally a giant dragon with a beak that's tongue spits out tentacles that have its own mouth.
Basically, yes.
That is terrifying.
That is terrifying.
Where did this thing come from? So let's ask, I'm going to ask you that question real quick.
Where do we think?
Where do you think it came from? Do you think it's an alien creature? Do you think it's extra dimensional or what?
Maybe from the sea?
Do you think it came from the sea?
I don't. It kind of described from, I guess, maybe a sea creature. Or an otherworldly creature, of course, UFO, it may not even think about, considered about. But yeah, it doesn't seem like something that's maybe on land. Maybe something from either the sky or from the water.
It's very possible. Yeah. It's also interesting that it's in the Appalachia areas, too. It's near the Appalachian area. When that section of the country is just known for high strangeness constantly. And I think it's just fascinating that this creature was there. And I think it's even more interesting that there's never been a sighting since.
That's true.
You know,
too.
Mothman's got sightings dating up till this year in 2023. I was reporting Mothman sightings. I just reported on a Bigfoot sighting 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there has not been a Snallygaster sighting since the 30s.
You don't hear about
it. Where'd it go? Did they kill them all off? Did the government kill them? Did Teddy Roosevelt himself go and kill the Snallygasters?
I mean, there's no way to tell how many there are actually out there, but maybe the fact that they heard the story, maybe if there's others gathering around, they heard the national attention, they heard Teddy Roosevelt come after them, maybe they just left our society altogether.
We were the monsters all along.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you believe it's real?
Sure. I don't know if everything checks out, but why not? I think there's some more that needs to be discovered here. So yeah.
I want it to be real, really bad. I want this thing to be real. Do I believe it has the same characteristics as people are describing it? Probably not, but do I think that there was a strange winged reptile-like creature that was flying around that was maybe in very small population that maybe had the ability to cause some kind of chaos? I'll go with that. But do I believe that this thing's got tentacle tongues with other mouths and supernatural abilities? I don't know. That's a tough one. I've never seen... Usually in stories like this with the Snallygaster, usually it's a straight from mythology creature. Like you look at Medusa or something like that. I'm going on a whim and saying that there's probably no such thing as a Medusa.
With the snakes and the
hair and all of that. Yeah. But the Snallygaster creature seems like it's straight ripped out of a mythology, but instead it's like an actually local reported cryptid.
Yeah.
That's a tough call, man.
Tough to explain, right?
Yeah, that's... So I'll leave it up to you guys, the audience. Do you guys believe the Snallygaster was real? Let us know. Shoot us an email. Comment on social media.
Call the hotline, yeah.
Cowpank, do you have any 2024 New Year's resolutions?
Bob, I don't really... Because, you know, resolutions are tough, right? They get broken pretty soon. You know, just continue on every day being the best account possible and... Here's the bright future, full speed ahead, 2024, and I do believe we should be
returned next week.
Tuesday.
Yes, because New Year's Day is Monday.
Station was shut down the day after Christmas.
So. Now we're back on a normal schedule until something else happens.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Same question for me. I lost 50 pounds this year.
Well, hey, how about that?
But you know, let's see here. What other things happened? I had a heart attack.
Well,
I missed like half of my episodes this year because of health related issues. Yeah. That was cool. Stress, depression. So, you know, but I did end up losing weight and I did end up like cutting a lot of nonsense out of my life. So maybe, Just maybe I could say 2024 is going to be a better year for me. I'm overdue for a good year.
Yeah. Nobody likes saying it's going to be the year because it never lives up to be the year.
No, but I would like a better year than this year is my goal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do whatever that takes to make that a better year. And ultimately, I just want to be a better host for Bob After Dark. I legitimately want to be a better host. I would say that's probably my top priority, is get my priorities back in line.
Host of the year 2024.
Maybe we'll make podcast of the year. We'll see.
are there award shows? We got to find one.
There are podcast awards, but we don't stand a chance.
Yeah, we never.
We're not bringing in Joe Rogan experience numbers by any means. But Colin, I want to say it's been a pleasure sitting with you throughout the 2023 year, and I look forward to sitting down here with you through 2024.
I'll see you next year, Bob.
I'll see you next year. Do you have any final words to the audience?
For those that all know, that's your final words to the audience.
Yeah.
Everybody have a very happy and a safe New Year's and have fun.
I will say to end this, obviously my normal everybody, good night and sweet dreams. To Mom, good night. I love you. To Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are on the planet, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Everybody, I just want to say, and to all acquaintance be forgot, how's that song go?
All Lang Syne.
All Lang Syne. All
Lang Syne.
May all acquaintance be forgot.
Because of all Lang Syne. It's a good one. There you go. We did it.
Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.